Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody. No, that's grand, Jeff. Yeah, thanks very much. You're very welcome to Liberty Community Church this morning. Anyone here for the first time? Yeah, you're very, very welcome. Thanks for coming. I appreciate that. God is good, amen? God is good, amen. We're going to start a new series this week called Earth, Wind and Fire. Now, it's not about the band. For those of you who grew up in the 70s, which wasn't me, it's a series that Noel has come up with. He started in Bray, and I'm starting here this morning in this location. But it's been on Pastor Noel's heart just to share a message over a period of time about God being the Lord of everything. And that even the Lord of the earth, the wind, and the fire. And he is the God of all things. And he is the power, and he is the strength, and He is everything in everything. I love that. And he's also the Lord of the elements. And the elements, earth, wind, and fire. But also that in our lives that we can understand God in these ways. It's all about, in my understanding, growing as a Christian, particularly earlier on, but even, it goes even deeper and deeper the longer you go in God. It's that you're always finding out new things about God. You're always finding out new things about his character. You're always finding out new things about what he thinks of you, which I love. You know, sometimes God just drops it in your heart about something that he's thinking of you, because the Bible tells us that God thinks about us and God considers us and we're in God's mind. Isn't that amazing thought to have in your head, that God is the God of the universe, the God who sustains all things, the God who has the whole universe in his hand, thinks about me and considers me, has me in his mind. And so as we're growing as a Christian, We need to understand that God is the power in our lives, and he is the strength in our lives, and he has mastery and control over all things. Is that a good? Is that good? Amen. And that's what we want to preach about. That's what I want to preach about this morning. So if you want to turn your Bible to Mark 4:35. And this morning I want to talk about my message this morning is about the wind. And Noel is going to preach about the earth and the fire, but I'm going to preach about the wind and about how Jesus has control over the wind and over the waves and all that kind of stuff. And if you hear about it, and if you hear the apostle saying that, who is this man? Even the wind obeys him. Even the wind obeys him. And so, are you there with me in Mark 4:5? Mark 4:35. If you're there with me. It's on the screen. Brilliant. Okay, so, starting at 35. That day, when the evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along. Just as he was in the boat, there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waters broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And that's part of this message this morning, that we understanding who God is in our lives, to the point where we can understand that even the wind, he is in control of the wind, he is in control of the waves, that even the elements of the earth obey him. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that a great and amazing thing that we can understand that God has the capacity to take control over the wind and take control over the waves and take control over the elements of life? And we need to understand this about the nature of God, and we need to understand that this is who God is, and this is who God can be. And that's where I want to get to this morning. He can be in our lives if we have faith to believe that. Amen? Amen. In verse 35, you have to understand that at the beginning of the verse, Jesus says, "Let's go." Now, if you understand where they were at the time, Jesus could have taken a little bit of time and walked around the sea. It wouldn't have been a hard thing to do. It possibly would have taken maybe a half a day outside his journey. But Jesus says to them, "No, let's go across the sea. Let's go across." And we have to understand that in the beginning, completely at the beginning of that this message, that it was his will that we go across. It was Jesus' will. And try and get that into your heart this morning as Christians. But try and get that if you're even a non-believer in the room this morning. Try and get into your heart that it was Jesus' will that we go across to the other side, but go across by the sea. And at this point, when they were going across the sea, Jesus and the other disciples and those who followed him went across in boats as well. So there was a team of boats going across the sea. And in our own lives, in our own special, you know, where we see God, that Jesus calls us and asks us to follow him. Now, there could have been people who said, okay, I'm not part of the boating community. I'm not part of the fisherman's community, so I'm going to go around the lake. And others might say, well, you know, I've gone this far. I've listened to him so much, but the journey ends now. But it says that others followed in boats as well. And there was a deeper thing going on here in God, that people saw the need to follow him directly and go across with him onto the lake. Because it was a precarious thing. I don't know if anybody has ever gone boating before. I don't know if anyone has ever gone out onto the sea before. But I have never done it, but as I've been asking people, it's a scary thing. Anything can happen, and anything can get out of control very, very quickly when you go on a boat, especially into choppy waters, or especially into waters where things can get very dangerous very, very quickly. And so these people, they didn't care. They said, I want to go where he's going. I want to be where he is. And I'm not going to Shawcull. My journey doesn't end now. I'm going to get into a boat and I'm going to go with him because he's going. And do you understand that message this morning, that people didn't take it the easy way around to meet him on the other side? They said, no, I want a boat because I want to be close to him. I want to go where he is. And I'm going to take the risk. And it was a big risk because even now in modern times where we have our life jackets and we have our modern boats with modern engines in them, that you can get out of trouble very, very quickly. But in them days, they didn't have nothing like that. It was a basic boat that could fall apart at any minute. And you have to understand the dangers that people took. And the Bible's very clear that other boats went with him. Are we hearing that this morning? Other boats went with him. And as they were out into the middle, and I love this about the Gospels. I love this about the truth. They were right out in the middle. There was no way back. They were out. They were gone. The boats were gone past the horizon. And then the storm came. You hear that this morning? There was no possibility. Oh, here's a storm. Let's get back. They were out in the middle where there was no getting back because the storm was behind them and the storm was in front of them and the storm was side by side and there was no way out now. There was no quick way out. There was no, let's jump overboard and walk across back out. It happened when they were out in the sea, the Bible tells us. A furious squall came up. In other words, a storm came upon them straight away. And that can happen sometimes when you're out on sea, that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a storm comes, and Jesus called them into that storm. If you know Jesus, if you don't understand the Gospels, he knew what was going to happen here. And he called them out. He said, come with me out to the sea. And everybody that went out with him suffered the same thing as he was suffering. Everyone went under the trial. Every single one of them. Nobody was immune from it, including Jesus. It was a very, very dangerous thing for a squad to come upon a group of boats like that. Even nowadays, when you see our modern boats and our modern trawlers, and many of them are lost at sea because of storms. Here's a group of boats just barely hanging on in this storm. And Jesus called them into it. You try and understand that this morning, that Jesus calls us into the storm. These things just don't happen to us. He allows it. And people don't like to hear that as Christians. Sure, they don't. They don't like to hear, oh, the storm happened because of A, B, and C. Now, sometimes the storm happens because it's God's will. I don't like hearing that message. I really don't. Lord, let me go another way with this. And God says, no, I want you to go that way because I did call them out of the storm. I knew what was going to happen. The Lord was saying to me, I think Jesus knew what was going to happen. I firmly believe that. And he called, he says, let's go out to the sea. Are we hearing that this morning? And every single one of them, the storm came upon them all. None of them were immune to this. None of them were. And as Christians, there's going to be storms in their lives. Hands up to that. Anyone know about storms? There's going to be storms in their lives. There's going to be storms in their lives, and they're going to come out like that. All of a sudden, things are going great. Everything is fine. Everything's very, very peaceful. Moseying along. Next minute, boom. A hurricane, a storm, a squall. Danger. Where is God? That's always the first question. Poor old God gets blamed, doesn't he, all the time? He gets the blame all the time. Where's God? God let me down. Where's God in all this? And we don't understand as Christians that God allowed this to happen. That God caused this to happen. People don't want to hear that. They want this mollycoddled Christianity where nothing wrong happens. Favor, favor, favor. Blessings, blessings, blessings. And sooner it ends, I'm out of here. On to the next country club group that I can join that has all the blessings. Amen. I don't want any trouble. I'm not getting up at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning for trouble. I'm not committing to a church and doing things for the church for trouble. I'm not going to start serving a God for trouble. We don't want that in our modern society. We just want the calm. We want the blessings. But can I just let you in on a secret? It's not Christianity. And it's not true life. And it's not real life. Everybody, Jesus says you will have troubles. But be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, everybody who followed came into the trouble. And in verse 37, we read, a furious squall came over and the waves broke over so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care? And I believe, and studying this and reading commentaries about this and going deeper into this, that Jesus, why was Jesus asleep? And I always found that a curious thing. I always found that a strange thing, why Jesus slept. Because nowhere in the Bible does it speak about Jesus sleeping. Very, very few times where we hear of any habits that Jesus had or things that he was doing. But in here it tells us that he was asleep. And he's asleep at the strangest time you can ever be asleep. When there was a crossing where all of a sudden a storm came. Who could sleep through that? And who could understand that? And who could know that? But the Bible teaches it's a very unnatural thing here that's happening here. It's not a natural thing. Men don't fall asleep during storms. Believe me, if you're in terror and if your life is at risk, you don't sleep. It talks about Paul. When Paul was calling a storm in the book of Acts, they didn't sleep for weeks. The Bible teaches they didn't sleep. Men don't sleep, particularly when their lives are in danger. But the Bible tells us that Jesus was asleep. Why was he asleep? You have to ask that question. Why was he asleep? And I believe he was asleep to store up faith. I believe he was asleep to get people conscious of who can sort this out. I believe he was asleep to get men thinking, especially the men on that boat. What can we do? We're going to drown here. We're going to die. And so Jesus, he was asleep. They found him asleep. But the greatest thing he ever done was woke him up. Now that might be strange to you because a lot of people have heard this message preached a different way. The greatest thing them men done was woke him up. Their faith was stored. Can you imagine me being in a boat? Just say, for instance, and I go off in a boat someday and we're fishing or something like that. And I'm jack tired and I fall asleep. And Ed Gregory falls asleep in the stern of the boat. In other words, in the hull of the boat. And all of a sudden, a storm comes up. And I'm still asleep and the waves are brought. And there's 4 or 5 lads in the boat and they're all fishing. And obviously, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? The radio's broke. We're now in the middle of the Irish Sea. We're all going to drown. They're not going to wake me up thinking I'm going to sort all this out. What can I do? Hey, wake up. We're all going to drown. But I'm going to drown with you. What can I do? I can't. Who do you think I am? You're just waking me up. Wouldn't you let me sleep and die in my sleep? But the Bible's very clear. He woke Jesus. Why did he wake up? Because he knew he could do something about it. They knew he could do something about it. And they woke him up. And it's a beautiful thing because the minute they woke him up, Jesus assessed the situation. He understood exactly what was going on, by the way. Don't be in any doubt of that. Don't read anything else other than that. He knew exactly what was happening, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And he stored their faith up to the point where they're waking him up, not to wake him up, but to do something about it. And he stood up and he went, shh. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible says he quietened the noise. I love that. Trouble is noisy, isn't it? Trouble is full of noise. Boom, 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 in your ear all the time. Bam, 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 bam. Rabbiting on. Pestering you. Every morning you wake up. I used to love that when there was things going on in my life. And I wake up and you'd have about 2 seconds, maybe 10 seconds in the morning where you think it's not existing. And all of a sudden the trouble comes back in and you remember that. Do you ever get that? You wake up in the morning and you forget about all your troubles and all of a sudden your troubles land on you. It's like a noise. It's like a noise that won't shut up in your head. And the waves are a type of, I'm being swamped, I have no control over this. And the Bible says that Jesus got up and he went, shh, and he quietened it all down. And that's for us in our lives. We have to grab that. That he has the power to shh our problems and to quieten them down to the point where as soon as the wind was quietened, the waves stopped. Do you see the procedure? What was causing the waves, guys? The wind. When the wind was quietened, the waves died down. And that's the process that Jesus does, that as Christians and as we're grown as Christians, we have to understand that there will be trouble. And there will be storms, but they are designed to make us grow. They're designed that we change. And every person in this room, Christian or non-Christian, but every person in this room, there must be measurable growth in your life. There must be a moving on. There must be change in our lives. We must be able to measure the growth that we have in our lives. And growth comes through trials. And growth comes through pain and suffering. And growth comes through a place where we almost feel like we're going to be swamped. But when we call out and when we wake him up, things start to change. The difference happens. And we understand God in a whole different way. The biggest revelation I got from this message was that I used to think that when Jesus said to them, have you no faith, when he woke them up, I used to think that what they should have done was they should have quietened the storm themselves and woke up Jesus and said, look what we're at to do, and we're at to quieten the storm. And then I read into it and I inquired of God, and God was saying to me and clearly saying to me that that wasn't the objective. They couldn't have quietened that storm. They couldn't have done anything about that storm. The storm was there because God had allowed it to happen, and it wasn't up to them. I used to always think, he said they've no faith because they didn't quieten the storm themselves. But that wasn't it. And this is key. I hope you get this morning. I really hope, because this is what my message hangs on this morning. The reason why he was so upset when they woke him up is the way they woke him up. In other words, Jesus, wake up. Are you going to let harm come to us? And that's what he was so upset about. Because they didn't know him. They didn't understand that he would never let any harm come to them. And that's where their lack of faith was. That's what he was so upset about. Where is your faith? Do you not know me now? By now, I will let nothing, no harm come to you. I will let nothing, you are the apple of my eye, God says. You are mine. I will jealously guard over you. And he was trying to get that across, that even when the storms are coming, you won't drown. Even when the waves are breaking over you, I won't allow it to happen. I won't allow you to be overcome. It may look like that, and it may have the appearance, but I won't allow it to happen. And whatever boat that Jesus is in, it will not sink. I guarantee you that. Whatever boat that Jesus is in, it will not sink. It won't go down, because he won't allow it to go down. And he said to the people, where is your faith? Do you not know me by now, in other words? Shh. And he showed them, and he proved it to them, and he quieted down the storm. Now, it mightn't look like that. I tell you one thing, I've been in a few storms as a Christian. I've been in a lot of storms as a non-Christian as well, by the way. And it's harder in them storms. But when you're in the middle of a storm, it doesn't look like you're going to get out of it. And it's very easy for me to come along and preach all these great messages. Jesus won't let you sink and all that kind of stuff. But in my experience, he won't let you sink. And in my experience, there is times when you go right to the edge. And I'm on the edge here at this platform this morning, and it feels like you're going to go over. But at the very last minute, he grabs you. The very last minute, he catches you. The very last minute, he is truthful to you. The very last minute, he says, shh. Have we heard that this morning? It's not our job, to quiet the storm. It's our job to believe that he won't let any harm come to us. That's our job as children, to understand who our Father is. It's not our job to quiet the storms. That's his job. It's our job to believe that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he will look after us, that he will pay the bill, that he will meet the need. We go around trying to meet the need, don't we? I've done this massive breakthrough for me, because I go around trying to manipulate all the things I need with my great faith. And it's all about me. And I'm not asking God, I'm trying to quiet the storms. Hey, these great faith, quieting the storms, there's nothing to do. God says, you don't quiet the storms, I do. You just believe that I will meet the need. It's me. It's me you go to. It's me you wake up. It's me you trust in. And I tell you one thing, that's a great thing, because it takes a lot of weight off my shoulders. Can you imagine the disciples on their knees begging the storm to quiet? Don't wake them up. Don't wake them up. We'll do this. They'll be there for hours. Quiet the storms in Jesus' name. Push them waves back. We're not going to sink. In Jesus' name. And they leave him asleep. I really got this from the message. The only way the storm was quiet is when he woke him up. That wasn't the wrong thing. The wrong thing was believed that any harm was going to come to them. That's where the wrong was. And that's where the rebuke was. Not on the fact that they can't quiet storms. We can't do it. Jesus can. And when we come to Jesus in the middle of our storms, we say, Jesus, I know you're not going to let any harm come to me. I know I'm going to get through this because you're in my life and you're in my ship. I know that you're going to provide that need. And I'm going to wait on you. And I'm going to wait for you to stand up and quiet this storm. But it's you I'm calling, not me. It's you I'm tapping into, not me. I can't do it and I'll never do it. And I love that about faith. And I love that about the Christian walk. That it's the song that we sang this morning. There he goes again. Lifting my burden. But that's what he wants to do. That's what he loves to do. And that's his role in our lives, if I can put it like that. When the disciples woke up, or when the storm was calm, the disciples, and I can imagine all the boats around as well. And I can imagine them looking at Jesus. And they're going, who is this guy? Who is this man? Even the waves and the wind obeys him. didn't know about that, about Christ like that. They didn't know him like that. And when we go through the storms of life, we know God in a different way. We know something new about his character. I remember going through a storm in my life, and it was a relationship storm. And I'll be honest with you, it lasted a long time. And when I got through it, when God got me through it, I knew something new about him. I knew something different about him. And it was only through that storm that I got to know that part of his character. And that's what he says, Eddie, that's why I let it happen, because it's the only way you can know me that way. And now that type of storm can't happen for me anymore because I know him. Do you understand that? I've grown out of it. Like that stuff doesn't have that effect on me anymore because I know who he is now. And that's, the disciples were looking at this guy and said, who is he? Even the way, they didn't know that about him until after the storm. They didn't, we don't know about him because that wouldn't have been in the gospel only for that storm. But then we all know about it, that he even calms the wind and the waves. And he wanted the whole world to know, this is what I do. And this is what I can do, and this is what I will do. Do we understand that this morning? That they know, they knew Jesus in a completely different way after that storm. And that's why trials come into our lives. That's why hard times come. That's why at times God seems like he's asleep. And sometimes he is asleep in our lives, and that's his will. And we have to go and wake him up. And there's a challenge to go and wake him up. Believe me, you. Because I want that all the time, don't I? I want the flow. We always pray for the flow, flow, Lord, flow. And sometimes Lord says, I'm not flowing anymore. I'm going to sleep now for a while. Because I want you to depend on me, and I want you to wake me up and know what it is to it. Because it's too much of you in this relationship. I want you to understand who I am. And we have to go through that. Amen? Amen. If the worship team want to come back. God is good, isn't he? God is good. If the prayer team want to get ready as well, because it really struck me this morning, 5 minutes into this message, that there's a lot of people in this room going through storms. Just struck me straight away. Just all the eyes looking up. And it's okay. It's okay. As Christians, it's okay. And I get great comfort in knowing that God is instituting it. And you might shake your fist at God and say, damn you, God, or whatever. But at the end of the day, God is saying, this is my will. Let's go. Let's go. Follow me. In Matthew's version of this account, before the chapter before this account, people were coming to Jesus and saying, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. I'll follow you. And Jesus says, foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. I'll follow you. And then straight after he says, let's go across the wet lake. And he led them into a storm. He led them into a storm. Will you follow me now? Will you follow me now? But when he got through the storm, they knew that he could calm the waves. And they knew something new about him. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. If you want prayer, if you're in that storm, come to the front. And let's go and wake him up if you need to in your life. And let's go and share, and let's go and be a community in your storm. If the prayer team want to come up, Trish and all the guys want to come up. Pauline, the prayer team want to come up. Louise, Peter, Jay. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you for your word this morning. Father, come, Lord, and minister into the midst of the storm. Father, would you quieten it down, Lord Jesus? Would you make the noise go away? Father, would we be in a place to cry out to you, Lord? To wake you up, Lord? Father God, would we believe that you will let no harm come to us? Father God, would we trust you in that way? And would you give the breakthrough in that way? That God won't allow it. Help me to personally believe that, Lord, that you won't allow it. Help me to trust in you in that way, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord.